DC talk for those rappers out there that in the 90s. If you want them, in promotions. So I was at this Presbyterian church, and this style of shirt was very popular, where they'd have lines of things. And so I had a bunch made up to sell, and not very many people bought them, so I just sort of stacked them up. And I happened to find them in the garage, so this has never been worn, but I did put it through the dryer. So I'd like to donate this to... They're all extra large, but that's extra large back when everybody used to wear tight clothing. So it'd be perfect for large. I think Rogelio's daughter is perfect for her. Good color, too. Okay, I'll introduce my wife, Marcia.
Good morning. We are going to continue what we've been talking about, prayer, learning how to pray for others. And... today we wanted to go over the five basic steps of what was called the Vineyard five-step prayer model. And this has gone all around the world. It's really stood the test of time. In our experience, at least 30 years, we prayed with this model. It's always a very effective and simple way to minister to others. And even though prayer ministry may not become your main way of serving in the church, it is something so important, so vital and basic in our walk as a Christian. It's like learning to read. It's something you're always going to use, always going to be able to offer as a servant and receive as a servant. It's just vital in your walk. And I always think of the, we've talked about this scripture before, James 5. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. And that's the key for me. You can pray individually to God and should and always be in sort of a conversation with the Lord, like that song, and he walks with me and talks with me. But healing most often occurs when we pray for one another. And there's an intention in that. God has created it that way. And the examples of healing in the New Testament are one person healing another. People don't just stand up and go, I prayed and I'm healed. It is a sharing experience. And in Matthew, it is to show that the kingdom of heaven is near. And it's only as far away as the presence of the Holy Spirit, which can be right here with us and is with us in the room. So that's the witness of heaven. And when you pray for one another, it becomes tangible. It's just amazing. The things that you see, that we used to invariably have an argument on our way to church in the car, get there, you know, get, confess, pray, get, you know, become with the Holy Spirit, and then pray for others. And on the way home in the car, we were always talking nonstop about what we saw, what happened, the healings we witnessed, the visible difference that we saw in people who gave and received prayer. It's just an exciting, tangible, and real evidence of heaven.
First of all, I wanted to say that the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Amen to that. I woke up this morning with that, just that peace. And... funny thing, last night, there's a good friend of mine that, a brother of mine that has cancer, and he's in the last stages of it, and he can't drive, and he goes to this ministry in San Pablo that meets on Saturday night called Revive, and there are a lot of young people there. A lot of people come down from Bethel, and they run it. So I drive him over there, and during the daytime, I'm working in the yard. When you get older and you don't work in the yard as much as you should, I work in the yard every Valentine's Day, I think. So you know what my yard looks like, right? So I'm out there pulling weeds, and I strained my back. I mean, I pulled muscles in my back. It wasn't like the skeleton. I said, oh, my God, how am I going to play golf? You know, it's all personal, right? So so I take my friend to church, and I'm sitting there, and they're asking people to get up for prayer for different reasons. I think to have to know God's love greater, you know. And, of course, I think I know God's love. So I said, well, maybe I should have this guy pray for my back. And I looked and I see this African-American young man that just came from, graduated from Colorado State. He's working at a fast food place in Alameda, and he really feels called. Him and his two friends felt called to come to the San Francisco Bay Area. Anyway, I walk up to him, and I had his name wrong, too. His name is Lewis, and I called him Aaron. I met two guys the same week, and so I said, hey, Aaron, would you pray for my back? I pulled these muscles. And he looked sort of surprised. And so he started praying for me. And as he started praying for my back, I had to move it around. He had it in the first place. It felt like, so move it up higher. And he did. But as he's praying, he started speaking words into my life. He started talking about these things. And he just started honoring me, just phrase after phrase of what God's telling him, and this and that. And it's things I've heard before over the last 30 years, but it was nice to be reminded. It was nice to be reminded of God's love. And he's praying and praying, and then he said, you know, I see you like a little boy sitting on God's lap. And he's your father, and he's saying, what do you want? I want you to ask me for what you want. And I thought about that, and I said, that is really difficult for me. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But to ask what I wanted... Because as a child, when I would ask these things, it seemed like I was always getting an answer. You know, I remember asking my mother, where do babies come from? I'm like 4 years old, and she says, I'll tell you next year. And I remember this frustration, I really wanted to know. I mean, if she could have started telling me, and I probably wouldn't have gotten it. But it seemed like that was the thing in my life, and I thought about, okay. And so last night when I prayed, I started praying and asking for the things that I wanted. And what I want to do is I want to minister to people like I've been ministered to. I want to share God's love. Well, you said about the family of the Lord, this is family. We are family. All brothers and sisters. And getting back to the subject here, I think what we're going on is that being a bartender for 20 years, I really see I've had dreams, and I believe I'm God's bartender. For a bartender, you have to tell them what you want, and then we give it to you. That's the whole thing. You have to ask. You have to know what the people want. It's like us sitting on the Father saying, what do you want? What do you want from me? I want to give it to you. What do you want? And we're all servants of the Lord. We're all working. We're servants and working out here someplace. We're like Starbucks or wherever it is. And people come up and ask you tell you what they want. And that's what we're going here in this step. The first step is the interview, right?
Before we do step one, I wanted to also say that a key to respecting others is confidentiality. And we always made that a foundation of the prayer ministry, that you never talked about someone. If you talked at all about a prayer experience, you never put a name in. You just left it more vague. Like, I prayed for a person and they were having headaches. And not only did the headache go away, but, you know, they mentioned a difficulty in their family. And we prayed, you know, something like that. But never specifics, never male or female, never disclosing anything personal about someone. That is just a way of respecting others and respecting the kingdom, that you would keep that Now, if someone who receives prayer wants to talk about it, it's totally up to them. If you want to share your personal life, that is a testimony, and it's a value, but not for someone else to talk about. So that was always a first. The second thing was we always recommended women to pray for women and men for men. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's better. And refrain from touching people. You might, if you feel like you want to put your arm on their shoulder or something, you can ask. But it's amazing how many people have been injured by someone, you know, coming close to them, and it frightens them off, you know, if they don't know you really well. So those are the two basics that we always made sure everybody understood. And then when we talked about the 30-second prayer, keeping it really short, really 30 seconds to a minute if you can, because then you're letting the Holy Spirit do it. You're not controlling it. We used to call it the shotgun effect when somebody starts praying about everything, you know, from the time you were born all the way through, you know, the end of your life. It's, you don't need to do that because the Holy Spirit is there, and it's the Holy Spirit that is actually doing the ministry. You're like a midwife. You're just there to help, to witness, to watch, to be a servant, but not to actually do it. So you don't have to control it. You don't have to try to think of everything to say. Just make it simple. So in step one, the interview is just simply, how can I pray for you today? Or would you like prayer? That's it. Depending on how it's going, if people are coming up, how can I pray for you? If you're going out towards people, look for someone who looks maybe isolated or a little alone or sad. Yes, that person. Then how could I pray for you today? Or would you like prayer? Is the offer. Just that. And usually they'll say, like Robert, could you pray for my back? So you then step two, what to do. You always pray for what they ask for. And you couch that in love and forgiveness, if necessary. One of the things that we are anointed to do in the kingdom, that we have the authority to do, is to pronounce forgiveness. And I remember reading in the New Testament about how thousands of people would show up where one of the disciples was speaking because they could be forgiven. That was such a huge thing. Nowadays, people don't get all worked up about that. But then they had to go through this huge process with the temple and buying an animal and sacrificing it and, you know, go through all these steps to receive forgiveness. So the idea that someone had the authority to proclaim forgiveness was huge. And really, it is huge. People just don't take advantage of it enough. It's amazing how many things we carry around with us that we don't have to, because we just simply haven't received a forgiveness proclamation. So you're always on the lookout for that. And that may stick out in various ways, like, could you pray for my back? Absolutely. And you might ask a question or two, did you injure your back? What happened to your back? Then you might get, I've been under a lot of stress at work. My boss and I haven't been getting along. And I've been really angry about it. So there, that's a forgiveness opportunity. You have that is an evidence a confession. I've been angry with my boss. So you, as a member of the kingdom, you have the authority at that moment to say, I receive this confession in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pronounce you forgiven. Just that. And it's funny, you know, in the beginning I used to think, oh, somebody's going to take offense to that. They're going to say, well, I don't need to be forgiven for that. But nobody ever has. I think an actual change happens. I know I feel it when someone proclaims forgiveness over me. And so they just receive it. And that's because it is a gift. It's a huge gift. It's the gift that Jesus died for each one of us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be transformed and resurrected. So it's the best gift, really. So you want to make sure you sort of put that in when you have an opportunity. But that only takes a couple of minutes to ask a couple of questions, like how did you injure your back? And then the prayer, which is set them free. And that is just simply, you know, Lord, I lift up my brother or sister. We ask for your presence. You call the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill my brother or sister. Give them your peace. Heal this back. Remove any stress or whatever information they've given you. The forgiveness proclamation. You give it a minute. You sort of let them receive that. And then the next step, if the eyes are closed and you just sort of see them in a reverie, you can bless what the Lord is doing in their life. Proclaim them loved. And then wait a second. If their eyes are still closed, you may want to give it a minute. If there's more people, sometimes there's a group of people who need prayer. You can move on and come back if someone is still standing there. Or if the eyes are open, you can say, did the Lord show you anything? Did you see any pictures or receive anything from the Lord? And that's step four, ask for more. And they may give you some more information there that you can then continue with. Would you like to offer that in prayer? Or you can ask a couple more questions. There, it sort of depends. So we'll leave that for a second. You always close with thanking God, thanking the Lord for what has happened, for this healing, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And regardless of whether you see it at that moment or not, it's done. You have asked for it in the kingdom, and it will be done. So at that point, you thank God for that, for what has been accomplished before you close. And you thank God for this person. And you definitely make sure that they know that they are loved and free in the name of Jesus.
Well, you just had a 6-hour teaching in 8 minutes. Usually when we teach these, we have the night before, we have a little worship and stuff, and come back and all day Saturday with classes, and then teaching in greater depth on each step, and then having workshops in that. But, you know, this all evolved out of the initial coming of the Holy Spirit. We were asked to take over the prayer ministry in San Francisco at the Vineyard when the popular leaders had decided to move away. When they left, they were an older couple, strong mother-father, and everybody just sort of disappeared. So Marsha and I were asked to be in charge of the prayer teams. For about a year, there was no prayer teams. We would meet every Sunday morning for a half hour, an hour, and pray in the wait for people to come for pre-prayer, and nobody showed up. And then about a year later, the Holy Spirit hit the place, and it shook everything. And here's what we had to learn to say as a prayer person. We had to learn to say, this is the sovereign work of God that no man should boast. That's all you had to say. This is the sovereign work of God that no man should boast. So I want you to say that. This is the sovereign work of God that no man should boast. Because what you would do is stand there and look at the person, and there's something going on between them and God. You're not a counselor. You don't have to talk them into anything. You don't have to be sensitive. All you have to do is look at them. And they're either shaken or their eyes are flooded. They're crying. And it'd be part of you saying, well, how can this be taking place? I haven't done my thing. I haven't said these perfect words and stuff. There's something going on between them and God. And that's the way it works. That's the whole thing. Were we prepared to do this? That's all we did train. We had to oversee people to have them do that, because some people would come in so bold, they would be like stomping on them. We had one woman, should I tell them about? Yeah, there was a woman we knew who was a counselor, and she had really had a difficult marriage. So she wasn't part of our prayer team, but she came forward to pray, and next thing you know, she's trying to drive demons out of this man who looked like her husband. You know, we got this complaint. He felt totally violated. It's almost allow the Holy Spirit to work. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. And all you're doing is blessing what the Lord's doing. And as you have that position, as you say, you look at somebody and you say, this is a sovereign work of God that I can't take credit for it. It's easy. I have no responsibility. If it fails, it's God's responsibility, right? And the person, and you can see there's something going on. So all of a sudden, all you're doing is blessing that person, speaking the promises of the Lord over them, the promises of God, just reminding them that they're loved. It's like last night. This guy's praying for me. My back's killing me. Today, my back's fine. But it's almost like the Lord allowed my back to get stiff so I would walk up for prayer. Because it always surprises them. Because for some reason, I'm around all these young people, and I walk in. They sort of see me as being like older and wiser for some reason. I don't know, but I guess it's with the Lord gives me favor. And for me to walk up, it's almost like they expect me to come in and pray for them. Because I preached there many times, and some of the older members, I have a reputation. So for me to walk up and say, pray for me, it's almost like they get blown away. Now what am I going to say to pray for this man? All of a sudden, they just start saying all these wonderful things. It just comes out of their mouth. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, this is really good, Lord. Thank you. I needed this. I needed to be reminded. I need to be reminded how loved I am. I need to be reminded of the calling upon our lives. And that's the whole purpose of our family, encouraging each other, prophesying over each other, telling how good we are, how glad we are to see you when you show up, things like that, and how we like to be around you. Thank you, and serve one another. So we're just all God's servants. I know I'm going to give this to my wife, but the thing I preach when we taught this, set them free. I always take them to the cross. When I decide the person wants to pray for, I always take them to the cross. Because on the cross, that's what Jesus, what he did on the cross is what set everything free. That's what opens us up to receive. And it's funny, sometimes just mentioning it and just mentioning what Jesus done, who knows, goes on in the spiritual. I heard a guy give a testimony yesterday. He said he was 14 years old, and he was at some place and with church with somebody, and he was all against church. And all of a sudden, somebody said God. They wanted to pray for him, and they heard the word God, and something happened inside of him. He heard the word God, and all of a sudden, he started crying, and he said, I just started crying and crying and crying. I just kept saying, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love you. He said, I said it over and over and over. Now, then he was eight. Then he said he grew to 18, and he went to Bethel Church because he wanted to get in the school of supernatural ministry. So now he's like 22, and he feels he's been called to San Francisco. He says, I'm really uneducated. I never went to college, but I just have this thing about the love of the Lord. And he's just heard the word God, and something happened inside. So,
I'm glad you mentioned our friend, the counselor. That's another piece of this is that sometimes you have an insight. The Lord gives you a word for someone while you're praying for them. You always frame that as a question. They may or may not be ready for that. Regardless of what the Lord has revealed to you, they may not be quite comfortable with that. So you, like judgment is an example. What the spirit she was casting out was judgment. So you would say to someone, if you were praying and you had a word of judgment, you would say, have you ever had a problem feeling judged? Or have you ever had an issue with judging another? You always ask them. And if they say yes, it's open. You can begin to pray for that. You can lift that up and take it to the cross, which is forgiveness. If they say no, they're not ready. It doesn't mean that the word you received is not right. It probably is right. But they're not quite ready. So then you pray silently and you go on. You wait. You wait for the Lord to get them ready. It's like we talked about last week. It's like the birth of a baby. If it's not time for the baby to be born, it's a very bad idea to push on it, force it. Let the Holy Spirit do that. It will happen and does happen in that context. That's a really important piece of loving others, respecting others. And it's also scriptural. If you look in the New Testament, particularly how Jesus approaches people, he always asks them questions. He'll say, like the woman at the well, he asks her questions. She answers. And from that, it opens up an area that he begins to bless or pray for or heal. So that's an essential part of this prayer model, is to remember to put it in that way. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit is working on the person. Usually they'll say yes. It's only been a few times somebody has said no to me. But when it happens, you just accept that.
It's funny as you mentioned about the birth of a baby. I can remember being a kid and I saw this movie called Drums Along the Mohawk with Henry Fonda and Claudette Colbert. And it talks about the pioneers going out in upstate New York. And this is before the Revolutionary War. And she gets pregnant. And so the older women take her into the house, and all the husband and his friends, they all go outside, and they're told to chop wood and boil water. So these guys are out there chopping wood and boiling water, and they keep boiling it, and then the old ladies would yell, "More hot water!" So they'd run in, they'd take it, and the old lady would take it, and they'd just throw it out the window. And then they yell, "More hot water!" And the guys are out there just chopping the wood and boiling the water because they had to do something. That has nothing to do with the birth. But they had to do something because there was something within them that wanted. And up to that time, I'd heard that thing of, and being a young kid, I used to think there was something about hot water. Until I finally saw this movie that, oh, I got a revelation. They just thrown it out the window. But it gave the men something to do because the men wanted this baby to come. And the women knew, you just had to wait for the timing. And the baby comes when it comes. The healing comes when it comes, right? So many times you can see yourself as just chopping wood, gentlemen, and boiling water, and it comes. But the miracle comes when we ask. And like I said, I woke up this morning. In fact, I started feeling better yesterday when he was praying for me, and he says, "How do you feel?" My spirit was so strengthened. I said, "Well, maybe I'll be like Jacob and walk with a limp," because I just felt a little bit of pain. But it was worth it. The blessing It was so worth it. And today, nothing at all. I just want to show you, this is a copy of, I found it. This is one we did at January 13, 2001 at the Living Word Church in Moraga. And this is about basically the pages. And if we ever, we'd like to do a teaching here sometime. This is sort of what we teach, more of a thing that to have and look at as sort of a...
We'd like to do a full day.
With training and open it up to the community. There's other churches. We've gotten... it's funny about that five-step prayer model that it had such an impact early in the Vineyard, like 30 years ago, that the people are still asking about it. In fact, Randy Clark and Bill Johnson just published a book from Bethel, and basically it's the same thing about the prayer model. And we've adapted it. We had to adjust it because what sort of worked catching fish 30 years ago, even though the Holy Spirit is the same, it changed. It's like music, right? It's like DC talk, man. It was really hot maybe, you know, at a certain time, but maybe now or 50 years ago wouldn't have sold anything at all.
And there are a lot of parts of this, like discernment, deliverance, the purpose of God in a situation. There are lots of aspects of this that we can develop given more time and talk about that are little subsets of how the prayer model works. But if you have the basic steps, you're really equipped to go to take it anywhere. You can. It's like having the basic Legos. You've got them. You can pretty much, you know, make something on the spot, and then let the Lord do what's happening. If you call the Holy Spirit, like in our case, that day we walked into that church, we were the first people they'd ever prayed for, and the Holy Spirit just fell on us, and in an instant we were delivered and saved. And that's happened a few times to us, where we've prayed for someone and that much has been accomplished, like in an instant. Other times it's going to be a slower process, but you know, the water may be going out the window, but you just keep moving with it and let the Holy Spirit do it. Like the woman I talked about, who obviously it was a demonic situation, the woman who was spitting and cursing. When she was delivered, it wasn't in front of anyone as far as we knew in the church. We didn't see it. We just saw it one Sunday. She came up and it was gone. So you know, in many cases, you don't see it at that moment, but it still happens. And we used to get praise, what we call praise reports. We used to have a time of praise reports at our prayer ministry, pre-prayer we called it, in the morning before the church service, and people would give their praise reports of things that happened, things that would come back. People would email or call in and tell the church about healings and giving thanks. And so we'd have a chance to share that. And it's amazing how many things happened, how many things were started with just the 30-second or 1-minute prayer.
God, I was sitting here thinking, boy, I want to say this. Then she gave me the microphone, and my mind went blank. What was I going to say? Oh, I know what I wanted to do. Well, Patrick, why don't you put this last part down here where Jesus says these things. Jesus, the living word, said, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. This is not a suggestion. This is not a commandment. No, this is a promise." You know, when I read this, I reread it, I said, wow. pick up snakes. I don't even want to do that, pick up snakes. But I'm thinking, you know what it is? When they drive on the freeway, that's the thing. We don't have to worry about snakes where we live. They're all, you know, almost all the poisonous snakes are someplace. We live in an urban area, but like just being around, driving around the freeway and stuff, drinking deadly poison, eating lots of sugar. I mean, that's got to be like drinking poison, right? Stay off of that. We'll get well. You know, we shouldn't those things shouldn't affect us at all. But they will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. One other thing that Marcia mentioned is really important. Like, it's all confidentiality, but you know what the Holy Spirit does? He erases it. I'm such a codependent. If I walked around and I remembered everybody I prayed for, I'd be so worried. I hope their mother-in-law gets... I'd be all the time, I'd be worrying. But luckily, the Lord just takes that out of my mind until people come up to me and say, you remember me? You prayed for me? And what? I remember this perfect example. This woman walked up to me, a young gal, about 30, I guess, late 20s, maybe early 30s, and she said, do you remember me? And I looked at her. I said, well, you look familiar. And she said... And she had this young man with her. She said, oh, I came up a few months ago and we prayed for my friend for his salvation. And I said, oh, yeah, I think I remember that. And she said, this is him, and we're going to get married. When she said that, it hit me. I just almost broke down crying. But I'd forgotten it. But how that happens, you pray, and you pray, and the Lord just takes it, and the birth is ready. We prayed for this. Her friend, she wasn't going to marry unless he was a Christian. And we prayed for him, and he became a Christian, and then they decided they were going to get married. Never saw him again, but I'll see him in heaven.
Usually, when you say to someone, how can I pray for you, or what would you like prayer for, they give you what we would call the natural. They tell you, my back hurts. Or it might be an emotional, which is still basically in the natural. But these things are connected. And there's scripture to back this up. But basically, the flesh and the soul and the spirit are really one. They're connected. What happens to one happens to all three. So what you're doing in a prayer situation is you're reaching in to the supernatural. You're calling the Holy Spirit. Healing can occur from both edges. So what you're doing is asking for healing from the supernatural side, which I believe is really the key, really the heart of it. And an example of this is... shortly after we got involved with the prayer ministry, Robert had his second melanoma. And I think we talked about he had had melanoma right before we were saved. And then he had a second one a couple of years later. And I remember, because for him, the first time after we went through that, you know, I think... he was really holding on to, I'm healed now. It's over. But when the second one appeared, it came as a huge shock, like an emotional injury for him. And I came home that day, and this is very unlike Robert. Normally, Robert's got music blaring, and he's, you know, on the phone or on the email, and he's, you know, dancing around, and he's at... very active person. That day, I came in the house, all the drapes were pulled, there was no sound, it was dark, there were no lights on, no music, nothing, no radio. So at first I think he's not there, but then I'd seen his car out in front, I knew he was there. So I go walking to the house, I'm looking for him, I'm calling his name, no answer. I get to the bedroom, and he's in the bed, but he's basically got covers pulled over him. Like he's under the covers. Basically, he's hiding out. He has not been able to process this, what's happening to him. And so I sat down and I asked him, and he just sort of briefly told me, but he really didn't want to talk. Really did not want any involvement with anybody at that moment. Really actually didn't want to be comforted. She was just trying to get a hold of it. So I went out and I called a friend and just asked her if she would pray with me so that I would know, I would approach this in a good way and to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. Well, it happened that she was a woman very involved in the children's church. And Robert at that time was going every Sunday morning. You've heard that a couple of his songs he's written that initially started with children, probably. Anyway, the kids loved him. So she told another church teacher about what had happened. And the word went around in the children's church. Robert has had a melanoma. And the children prayed for him that night. And the next morning, he went back to the hospital for the deeper biopsy. And the cancer was gone. It was just gone. And that's always been such a powerful image to me. I've never forgotten that. That the prayer of these little kids who had such a love for him. The song, God Gives You Authority, is a song he wrote for kids. God gives me authority. Well, that had impressed them, and they believed they had authority, and they did. And so after that, Robert shared with the surgeon what had happened, and he really didn't accept this explanation of what had happened. But we knew what had happened. And that's a really clear example of how healing can start in the spiritual and move into the physical. And you see it happen a lot when you become more involved in the prayer ministry. It's not, in fact, it's much more powerful, I think, and really frequent to go in that direction. And that's a really important key of what you're doing. So when you receive from someone a request in the natural, it's just that you know that you have authority from the Lord to move into the supernatural, to call the Holy Spirit, and to begin the healing process, which I know is the true healing.
Yeah, I just want to bring up about the thing I had on my arm, on my shoulder was about that big. They did the biopsy and they said you have melanoma. So I got the prayer. They took it off, and then the report came. There was two reports. The first one said two good pathologists. One said there is no melanoma, and the second one said there was melanoma, but it was in remission. So it was dying, and this is the most aggressive cancer there is. And praise the Lord for the prayers of the children. Well, we've got about 3 minutes. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to pray for somebody. Just do a brief example of what we've done. So I think that in light of your word earlier, Irene pulls these things out and she just says them. It always just like rings a bell in my mind. She said about we're family. And there might be somebody that's dealing with a relationship issue, maybe within their family. Or something, in the, or whatever it is, just a relationship with somebody. And if you'd like prayer for it, we'd like to demonstrate just how this works. So let's just take about 20 seconds. Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We just say, Holy Spirit, touch someone, Lord, to show that an area in their life with a relationship that you want to heal. In Jesus' name. Okay, anybody? We got 2 minutes. Come on up here, Luke. Okay, or do you?
It's not really about me. It's
okay.
My-